Would you welcome the presence of the Lord one more time? The worship team has done a marvelous job of ushering us into His presence. Would you just respond to what God is inviting you to be a part of right now? Would you respond to the anointing that God is allowing you to feel and to experience? Would you lift up holy hands and open up your mouth and cry out to God in admiration and glorious worship and praise and thanksgiving? Lord, we're grateful this morning for lifting us up, picking us up, and some of us dragging us out. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, sending me on my way. Lord, I'm thankful that you didn't forget about me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and everybody can shout amen. To all of our friends and our guests and returning friends, we want to give you a warm New Life Apostolic welcome with a round of applause, welcoming you here today. Thank you, Jesus. And from the onset, I'd just like to say this, that if this is not the place that you frequent too often, or maybe it's the first time, maybe it's been a long time, I just want to challenge you right now before the end of the service, where we generally take the time to challenge you to come to the altar and allow us to pray for you. I just want to drop that seed in your heart from the beginning. I want to challenge you right now to allow God to stir your heart enough to allow us to pray for you. Before you leave here today, give us a chance. Give God a chance, give the church a chance to pray for you. You'd be amazed at what happens when the collective power of the church comes together to pray for one person. Sometimes you don't know what kind of oppression and depression and suppression is attached to you. Sometimes you don't know how you ought to pray. Sometimes you don't know what to pray for. But the church, a discerning church, knows how to pray for you. And we can break some things off of you. We can help you get delivered and set free. We can pray an anointing and a blessing over your life. My challenge to you is, give us a chance today. Don't leave without allowing us to pray for you. If you'd commit to doing that, I'm believing that God is just going to touch you and bless you during the remainder of this time that we have together. On the slide, if you could help me out, is an update. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you about the rapture of the church. Lord's coming back. Talked about how much hatred there is in the world for Christians. And during that message, I brought this update to you about Nishita, a little girl whose family is quickly becoming apostolic Pentecostal believers. And because of their faith, you weren't here. Maybe you didn't hear this. I hate to be so abrupt. It sounds kind of like I'm jumping right into it a little too hard. But the facts are the facts, that this little girl was set on fire. They lit her on fire, her whole backside, because of her family's faith. And I just wanted to tell you this, because I'm going to preach about the church today, and I just want to tell the church, New Life Apostolic Church, the global church, those of you that were able to give towards this little girl, what I didn't know was that she was supposed to be in the hospital for 30 days. When I spoke to Pastor Doyal on the left, he said they now want to keep her for 60 days because the hospitals in other countries that are second and third world are not like ours. They don't have the medicine, the staff. They don't have the treatment that you and I are blessed to have. And so everything takes longer and they don't have everything readily available. So it's turned into 60 days. But here's the blessing. I challenge some of you to give towards her medical expenses. And enough came in to cover those 60 days. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? And they are going to do some surgery. They're going to do, I forget what the term is called, but where they take some skin from other parts of your body and they graft it into places where you need it. And they're going to be doing some of that. And so we're asking you to pray for this family. I got a chance last night to zoom in live, pray for them, pray for little Nishita. And I can tell you that according to Pastor Doyal, who's a great man of God, who's there as often as he can next to the bedside. He is, the little girl is saying, I don't feel as much pain. I don't feel as much pain. And I know that's because of the church's prayers. So I want to thank the church. I want to thank the church for being the church. I admire the church. Fascinated by the church. I love the church. Not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about you, us. I'm talking about we. I'm talking about God's design for the church. And I'll be giving you other updates in the next couple of weeks when I come back to preach here. I have another challenge for New Life Apostolic Church, because we're a giving group of people. And some of you know that we're also in the business of rescuing kids from sex trafficking in the country of Nepal. And so far we have 16 kids that we've been able to pull out of very, very intense situations. And they're in a house, and we pulled them out before they ever got trafficked. We were there before they ever had a chance to get trafficked. That's what the church does. We're not just responsive to when something bad happens. We need to be about our Father's business before something happens. That's the church. That's what the church does. So I'll be challenging you in 2 weeks to see who's willing to help these 16 kids. Just wanted to give you that update. Also, and I apologize for all of the announcements, but I have a few things I want to share before you sit down. To everybody and anybody who has graduated this June or even May, from kindergarten or preschool on up to college level, we want to give you a great big round of applause. Can we do that right now? To all of our graduates, we want to congratulate you and tell you we're proud of you for your accomplishments and the milestones that you have reached in your life. And we know that your family's proud of you too, but we want you to know that your church is proud of you too. Another announcement I want to make is there is a Father's Day celebration next Saturday. Not Sunday, Saturday. Because we know you're going to treat these men something awesome on Sunday, and we don't want to interrupt that. But on Saturday, we're going to have a guys hangout. And as you know, for Mother's Day, we celebrate all women, and on Father's Day, we celebrate all men. So all men are welcome to come. We want you to come. Young, middle-aged, old, doesn't matter. We're going to have some good food. If you don't know what birria is, or you don't like it, in that little caption, it says there's some hot dogs for you, some hamburgers for you, some hot links for you. Not everybody's accustomed to some of the palate that you need to enjoy some good old-fashioned chivo, some goat. But everybody likes a good old-fashioned hamburger. So bring a side dish, men. And if you don't know how to make a side dish, lean on some of the women in your life to help you with that. Amen. So, women, sisters, encourage the men, get them out of the house. Tell them to join us at 6:30 here in the front lawn on Saturday, this coming Saturday, in Jesus' name. Summer is around the corner. It's here. A lot of kids are on vacation, and a lot of people are on vacation. We just want to challenge the church that during the summer months, stay alert, stay awake, be the church wherever you're at, wherever you go. We tend to experience a little slump in the summer with attendance or with participation, but you're still the church wherever you go, wherever you're at. We're asking you to be a part and contribute to everything that God has planned for you this summer. Would you lift up your hands now before I preach? Lord, we want to hear from you. We have friends and guests and mothers and fathers and grandparents and young people that need a word, a timely word, a word that'll change and transform the heart. Lord, allow the gifts and the operation of the Holy Ghost to be in operation for the sake of maybe an unbeliever that's here, maybe someone who's about to lose their faith, maybe someone who's about to throw in the towel, maybe someone who's in desperate need of a miracle. I'm asking you, Lord, we're asking you. Show up and show out as we brag about the church today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody shout amen. All right, you can take your seats as I preach to you from the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 2. And then we're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10:25. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. And here's what it says. It says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, and being of one mind. This is your God talking to you. You want to fulfill God's joy. You want to bring joy to God's heart. You want God to bring joy to your life. Bible says, be of one mind, one accord, in love. You go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read this portion of verse 25. It starts with but. It says, but, encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I think I used this scripture the last time I was here in reference to that day, that dreaded day. The end of time, the second coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. Bible says that we ought to be of one mind, one accord, in love. And Hebrews reminds us and cautions us and even warns us and says, hey, you ought to be encouraging one another as often as you can. Because I'm coming back soon, and this is a really good idea for the church to encourage one another. But I want you to know that to encourage one another in the Bible, at least in this Greek word, it doesn't mean just to smile at somebody and say, hey, you're doing a good job. Although that's a good idea. If you haven't told someone they're doing a good job in a while, you ought to tell them. And it doesn't mean just to smile at someone, but hey, if you haven't smiled at someone in a while, a smile goes a long way. That's not what was meant here, but that's still a good idea. To be kind, to be nice, to be uplifting, those are all good things that we ought to do. That's what the church should be doing. But that's not what the word encourage means here. If you look at that word encourage in the Greek, there's the actual word right there. And it means two things. It's kind of like a two sides to the same coin. It means to exhort and admonish. But it also means to comfort and console. Reminds me of the scripture that talks about winning souls. And it says that some people, you're going to be able to win them with compassion, by being kind and giving them a kind, timely word, and going to visit them and whispering the word of God in their heart, and they just melt. That's all they need. The Bible says, but some, you're going to have to pull them out of the fire. It's like they're dying and you're their lifeline. And it reminds me of this word encourage, because it includes both of those elements. To exhort means to be firm and strong in love, but to comfort is to be kind and gentle and sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is asking you to do. And so when the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 25, to encourage one another, it all depends on who needs to be encouraged and how they need to be encouraged. For some of us, there's been times where you needed to get pulled out of the fire. Somebody needed to be direct with you. Somebody needed to be honest with you. Somebody needed to be bold enough to tell you the truth. And other times you were in a very tumultuous situation where you were very vulnerable and you were very, very transparent, and you just needed someone to trust. Someone that you could lean on that wouldn't be in that moment telling you everything you're doing wrong, but you needed someone that can provide compassion and mercy. And maybe everybody's here has been in both of those situations. And so to encourage one another in these last days is going to require for the church to be discerning and sensitive enough to know how to encourage. And if you lean towards being an exhorter all the time, nobody's going to like you, because you're going to come off as just being a mean person. And if you lean towards being
the person that's just always comforting, then you may not save some people. You may not be able to really help them. God is calling the church to be the church, to encourage in these last days. I've titled this message, Give the Church a Chance. To anybody that's here and you're a little reluctant about the church, you've had some bad experiences in the church, or maybe you've thought you've given the church a chance, but maybe you really haven't. Maybe you said you tried it, but maybe you didn't give it a real try. I remember talking to a family member of mine, and I think we were talking about exercise or certain something with health or something, and he said, I already tried that. It didn't work. Couldn't convince him, and I know it worked. He's already tried it. See, anybody can say, I've already tried church. But it's not until you open up your heart wide. I'm talking wide. I'm talking let the Lord Jesus Christ come into every crevice, every dark place, every skeleton. Let him turn over every rock that's in your heart. That's giving the church a chance. The church works, everybody. The church really works. When the church is full of the Holy Ghost, when you're allowing yourself to be led by the Holy Ghost, the church functions at its fullest potential. And that's why I'm excited about the church. Because I know what the church can do. I know what the church has done. When led by the Holy Ghost, led by discernment, and when we encourage each other at the right time, at the right moment, led by the Holy Ghost, man, there's nothing like the church. There's nothing like it. I want to challenge you to give the church a chance. But I already go to church, but are you giving the church a chance? But I'm here all the time. Yeah, but are you giving the church a real chance to help you, to transform you, to grow you up, to allow you to contribute, to give back, to be a part of it, to be all in? Give the church a real chance. Not just a trial, not just a 3-day, a 5-day, a 7-day trial. All that doesn't work. I've tried it. That whole business about praying a lot and fasting and coming to group and fellowshipping and praying. I've tried all that. Just doesn't work. Give the church a chance. I know, you know, that the church is made up of people like you and me. And I picked up these sticks in my backyard this morning, last night. And just to give you a little illustration. We're like brittle sticks. Nobody here's perfect. In fact, we're kind of brittle. We're not that strong. We have problems. We're not always firing on all 8 cylinders. We don't always get it right. We're fragile. We're humans. We're made of flesh and bone and blood. We're made from the earth. We come flawed. The package came flawed. When you came out of your mother's womb, you came flawed. You came with mistakes and shortcomings. You came with problems because we're human. But something powerful that I and you, many of you have learned about the church, people, is that you weren't designed to go at this alone. Why? Because you're weak when you're alone. Because you're fragile when you're alone. Because if you fall into a pit and there's nobody there to help you, you're gonna die. Because if you're in depression and you don't reach out to anybody, you're gonna be in your misery for a long time. Because if you've got a temptation, a trial, you've got an addiction, you've got a shortcoming in your life, and you've got no one to help you except yourself, this is where it ends. Right there. We're fragile. Doesn't matter where you come from, what your bloodline is, what your accomplishments are, or who your daddy is, or whether you've got money or not. At the end of the day, one thing's for sure. Nobody's getting out of this alive. That's for sure. Nobody's getting out of this alive. We are all headed to a destination. One of those destinations is called death, and the other one, I hope, is heaven. That should be our destination. But you should know that the church is more than just one individual that's fragile. The church is made up of a group of people that are all fragile. We are all fragile. We're all in trouble. We all got issues. Is anybody here today that says they've got no issues? You're in bigger trouble than the rest of us. Because Jesus said, I came for those that know they're sick, not for those that think they're well. But he designed and established this beautiful organization, or shall we say, organism, because we're alive. We're not just some dead thing. He designed this beautiful organism called the church that's made up of a lot of fragile, weak people that have shortcomings that come together because they're being led by the Holy Ghost to come together to be of one mind, one accord, encouraging one another. And when you and I learn to encourage one another, now we're a little stronger. Now, I'm really trying to break this. I'm not just doing this just to put on a little show here. I'm trying to break this. And maybe there's a couple of you guys that maybe could put a little crack in this. But this is hard to break. I'm really trying to break this. I can't do it. You know why? Because when you follow God's instructions for living, and you follow God's guidance for your manual for living, you'll recognize that when you're a part of the kingdom of God encouraging one another, you still have weaknesses. You're still fragile, my brothers and sisters. Like every stick in this bundle is fragile. But when you come together and you decide that you're going to exhort, admonish, comfort, uplift, and love, all of a sudden you're unbreakable. You're unstoppable. You don't get taken advantage of as easily. The devil doesn't come to steal from you as easily, kill you as easily, destroy you as easily. You know why? Because God designed the church to be a protection for you. Designed the church to operate with its multifaceted giftings so that whatever you're short in, my brother and sister, maybe I'm not short in that area. But maybe I'm short on this area, and you've got a strength right there, and you can help me. This is the power of the church. Give the church a chance. Give the church a chance. If you're watching through live stream, give the church a chance. We're here to encourage, admonish, exhort, uplift, instruct, and love. This is the church. A bundle of fragile sticks. That's who we are. Which makes it even more amazing to me that God can take a bundle, us, a bunch of us, fragile sticks, and change the world. He can take fragile people like us and change the world. He took 12 men and turned the world right side up. And these men didn't come without scars, without wounds, without shortcomings. Do you remember Peter always putting his foot in his mouth? Do you remember all the mess that he made along the journey? He was fragile, but he was a part of the church. And the way he ended his days was amazing as a martyr. He gave his life for the church. He gave his life on behalf of the church. He gave his life for the calling of God on his life. He became a part of the church, so much so that he didn't consider his life being spared. But he gave it willingly. He didn't denounce his faith. He took upon the vision that God had given him. He became a part of the church. What church? The one church. He's given us one idea, one design, one structure, one formula, if you will, for this one church. And this one church has one purpose. And this one church has one destiny. If the church is ever just about you, you just finished pulling yourself out of the bundle. And when you make the church about you, you're right back where you started when you came out of your mother's womb. Fragile, easily taken advantage of, easily manipulated by the devil, easily tossed and turned like the waves of the sea. You become brittle all by yourself. I'm gonna be brittle for the rest of my life, but I'd rather be brittle in the church than to be brittle in the world. I said, I'd rather be brittle here with you than to be out there all alone, isolated. You and I, we're going to be brittle for the rest of our walk. Doesn't mean we can't grow. Doesn't mean we can't get stronger. Doesn't mean we can't learn from our mistakes. But I'm telling you, for the rest of your life, you are going to have weaknesses. And you need the church. And the church needs you. God designed for you and I to encourage one another. And if the church is ever just about you, you're a broken person all by yourself. If the church ever becomes something that is just for you, if it ever centers itself around you and you want the church to be centered around your needs, you're going to find yourself all by yourself. The church was designed to be a conglomerate of amazing, beautiful people that have been broken, that have been hurt, that have been taken advantage of. And collectively we come together and we are this beautiful vessel, this beautiful masterpiece that God designed to be on this earth to change every fabric of the earth. I want to talk to you about this one church for a moment. The church, my own definition for today's message is this. The church is God's spiritual hospital on wheels. We're a spiritual hospital, but not a stagnant one waiting for people to come in to get help. Like Nishita in that hospital, that it's substandard in Bangladesh and they're doing the best they can. No, 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 not the church. The church is a spiritual hospital on wheels. We're mobile. We go to where the needs are. We're going to look for and find the people that are weak, that are hurting, that are being taken advantage of. Like those 16 children that we rescued. We didn't wait for them at 7, 8, 9 years old to find their way to a safe house. No, we went after them. We went to look for them. We went to ask people. We went to villages. We went to investigate. We went to pull information. We went to connect with people that could help us legally bring them in to this place called the rescue house. The church is supposed to be a spiritual hospital on wheels. That's who we are. In the book of Psalms 27, verse 5, the Bible says, He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. That's the church. That's what God will do for you. That's where God will take you. He'll take you to a high place, a safe place, a tabernacle, a place of safety. Give the church a chance, please. If anybody's listening today, and maybe you're halfway in, three quarters in, maybe you're 9/10 in. I'm asking you to give God, give the church a real chance. All the way in. Allow the Holy Ghost to transform you completely so that you and I too can be like Peter. Or we no longer regard our lives as so important. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You're either in the hospital getting treated for wounds or a sickness, or you're in the hospital because you're treating someone for their wounds. Let me just stop and tell you this. You're not always going to be on top. You're not always going to be spiritually healthy. You're not always going to be at a full tank. Sometimes you're going to be on the bottom. Sometimes you're going to be dragging yourself in and through life. Sometimes you're going to need help. And the church is here so that when you need help, He becomes your Psalms 27 and 5. But there's other times where you're going to be healthy. You're going to be on a full tank. You're going to be doing well. You're going to be prayed up. You're going to be involved and engaged. You're going to be spiritually lifted up. My challenge to you is that when you're there, when you're in this spiritual hospital, and you're the person that's doing well. Become the person that's treating somebody else's wounds. Become that medical staff in a hospital that's there to treat those that are going through something. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to need the same treatment. You're going to need the same comfort. You're going to need the same encouragement. Somebody here today, and I'll be the first to admit that I'm not always 100%. And maybe there's somebody here today, you're not 100%. And you need help. You need healing. And maybe you feel a little brittle right now. Maybe you feel a little disconnected right now. Maybe you feel a little alone right now. It could be because you're disconnected from the church. Give the church a chance. And it starts by admitting that we're all brittle. We're all soft. We all got areas of weakness. I don't care how hard you and I can put a persona on. Because some of the hardened people on the outside are often the most wounded people on the inside. Some of the people that you assume are the hardest and the most confident are really protecting themselves from all the weaknesses and the vulnerability that they've experienced in the past. They don't want to get hurt again. They don't want to be taken advantage of again. Nobody here came out of the womb strong at 100%. Let me tell you what the Bible says about being a part of the church. There's a wonderful scripture that says we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And then it says, serve God with reverence and godly fear. Because as you serve God with all your heart and all your might, the Bible says you're receiving constantly a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you've ever been able to withstand the winds of trials, the winds of trouble, if you've ever been able to withstand landslides of life, it's only because you're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's only by the grace of God that you're able to withstand the winds of life. It's only because God has allowed you to stand. Nobody here is strong enough to stand on their own. And that's why we need to be a part of this glorious, beautiful organism called the church. The church. Give the church a real chance. Sometimes you're doing well. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to God. Listen to this carefully. Praise be to God of all the comfort who comforts us in our troubles, so that when we comfort those in trouble, we can do it with the same comfort that we ourselves received. That's 2 Corinthians 1:3. You can only comfort someone as much as you've allowed the Holy Ghost to comfort you. You can only help someone just as much as you've allowed God to help you. You're only going to be able to give that which you have received. If you've received nothing, you've opened up to nothing, you haven't allowed the church to help you, you haven't allowed God to really usher you in to a new place in life, it's going to be like placing an empty hand on an empty head. It's going to be like reaching out to give someone, but there's nothing in your hand. It's going to be like opening a door to try to help someone into safety, but the back door's open and the windows are open and there's no safety net inside the home. You can only administer that which you have received from God. The Bible admonishes us to hide in the shelter of His tabernacle. Hide in the presence of God. Be a part of God's plan for your life in the church. Sometimes you're going to be the patient in that spiritual hospital, but the next day you can become the person that's treating the person that you used to be. I'm telling you that from experience and of course your experience, that whatever God has delivered you from wasn't just for you. Whatever He set you free from, it wasn't just for you to put it in a journal and say, man, look what God did for me. Whatever God has done for you was designed for you to be able to administer that same healing, that same anointing that came upon you, that same deliverance that God helped you break out, break free from, that's what we're supposed to do. To whom much is given, much is required. If God set you free, delivered you, gave you a breakthrough, demons were removed from your life, oppression was removed from your life, if you were delivered or set free or loved on by God, then that same anointing you and I ought to be administering to others. Sometimes you're going to be the patient. Sometimes you're going to be the one administering this love to a patient. You can be healed this morning, and some of you will be healed. Some of you probably already healed just through the worship. Man, that anointing that came through that worship, somebody for sure was healed. Somebody for sure was touched. Somebody for sure, something was started. I have no doubt in my mind that some of you, whoever is willing, whosoever wills, whose heart is open, you'll be healed if that's what you need. You'll be delivered if that's what you need. I have no doubt in my mind or in my heart. And as you walk out of this place healed, my challenge to you is this: administer that healing to somebody else, because they're going to need it. And here's what's really cool. God heals you and he administers healing in your life or a breakthrough or something in your life that you were set free from. You now have a confidence to help somebody else. You can look at someone in the eye and say, because he did it for me, he can do it for you. Because he did it for me, he will do it for you. And I have enough confidence to pray for you and see you delivered. And so for those of you that will be healed this morning and set free, I'm challenging you. Yes, bask in his presence and bask in thanksgiving and praise and bless his holy name. But then go and find someone. Go and tell someone. Go and share it with someone. Put it on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever social media platform. Put it out there. Let somebody know what God did for you through the church. Let them know what he did for you through the members of the church. Let them know what he did when somebody prayed for you, spoke a word over you, a miracle took place, healing took place. Let somebody know. You all remember the guy in the Bible, in the book of Luke, who was demonized. All kinds of devils. Oppressed. Family couldn't stand him no more. Chained up, ripping chains in the graveyard. Jesus came, administered healing and deliverance. The man was set free. That man said, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I thank you for what you did. You know what Jesus told him? No. No, sir. Here's what you need to do. You need to go back to your family and tell them everything. Go back to your family and tell them everything. Whatever Jesus does for you through the church, through the anointing that's in this place, and through the ministry of the saints, go and tell them everything God did for you. Let them know. Let them know. Here's what I love about the church. The Bible talks about the Good Samaritan who helped a man who was robbed and he was beaten along the way. Coming out of Jerusalem, this man was left for dead. I always read through that scripture kind of fast because in my mind, I could see the narrative. I could see where it started, the middle, and the end. And I always saw this Good Samaritan stopping, helped the man up, put him on his transportation, took him to an inn, told the innkeeper, hey, take care of this man. Here's a little money. If there's any expenses at the end of his healing, I'll come back and pay for it. Now, man, that's awesome. What a good Samaritan. We ought to all be like that. We ought to be that kind of cheerful, giving, generous, loving. But I slowed down a little bit and read in the middle scriptures a little bit, and I realized something. The Bible says that when he found this man, he got down on his knees and bandaged him himself and poured a little olive oil for some extra protection. I realized that he did what he could do, and then he found out who could help him a little more. And I liken that as to the church. You can't do everything, but you could do something. You can't maybe perform the surgery and the details that are needed by somebody else with more experience. But you can bend, you can kneel down and find someone who's been beaten by life and at least put a little Band-Aid, put a little ointment, put a little Neosporin on that wound, take a little bandage and put it around that elbow, help somebody out if God has ever as so much as healed a small wound in your life, at least offer that. And then when you're done, remember, you got a church. You got a spiritual hospital. You got an inn that you can go and support and say, I can't help with this level of service, this level of ministry, this level of healing, but I know somebody who can. I know some anointed men and women of God in this church. They can administer more. And what I can't do, they can do. And what they can do, thank God I was on this path and I saw you and God put you on my path for a reason. Church, there's no such thing as just happenstance. You've all come into this situation where a member comes, if you're a friendship group, and they're like, brother, I ran into somebody, they need you. They need some help. Can you help them? Well, after a few years, I kind of wised up and I realized, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to do all the healing. I'm supposed to help them to do what they can do. Maybe they can give somebody a ride. Maybe they can take them to a doctor's appointment. Maybe they can help them go and fill out an application. Maybe they can be on the phone at 3 or 4 in the morning, so I don't have to do that all the time. Maybe they can be the ones to go and take them a meal. Maybe they can learn how to pray for them as they're sending them over to those that can administer other levels of healing. What a fascinating, fascinating design by God. The church. Give the church a chance. The Bible, as you know, warns us and says, be hot, be cold, but don't be lukewarm. You know why? Because God can't help a lukewarm person. If you're cold, admit that you're cold. If you're hurting, admit that you're hurting. God can help you. If you're on fire, stay on fire. Let the world know. Go tell your family you're on fire. But don't ride that fence and say, well, I don't want anybody to know, or what if they find out, or what? I'm too uncomfortable. I really don't want help right now. I think I can do it on my own. You're lukewarm. God can't help you. Don't be lukewarm today. If you're struggling, admit it. God will restore you. But if you're hot, you're on fire for God, man, seek ways to help somebody. Let that fire, that anointing come off of you. Go lay hands on somebody. Go pray for somebody. Go lift somebody up. Go invite somebody. Go pray for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. Go give a Bible study. If you're hot and on fire, go and administer some help to somebody. Man, when I think about the way God designed the church, I'm absolutely marveled, astonished. You know why? Because I often compare the church as an organization to other organizations, other systems of the world. Because I've been involved in a little bit of the health and then the education and a little bit of business and different arenas. And I kind of see how they're organized. And to be honest, I admire some things that they do. I do. I admire some structures, some organization, some the way they get things done, the way they streamline processes. I enjoyed seeing that stuff. But let me tell you something about the systems of the world. The world is doing what it can to be a safe place, to create a safe place, to create safe spaces for everyone. They're trying to help everybody belong, but they're falling short. They're falling short. They can't help everybody. And let me just prove it to you. I'm going to give you just one example. Has everybody or anybody heard of like the American with Disabilities Act, ADA? Anybody ever heard of the employer policies that are out there with regards to hiring practices? If you've ever had a job, you've had to read some of this. It's been brought to your attention. You've had to sign some things. And there's good intentions behind it. The ADA, it prohibits discrimination based on a person's disability. And that should be the case. Nobody should discriminate against anybody because of some disability. You go to an employer, they're going to have some policies because a lot of people have been sued, and there are some organizations, they really want to help people and make it fair. And so you may see that something written along these lines that an employer may not base hiring decisions on stereotypes, assumptions about a person's race, color, religion, gender, national origin, age, disability, or even genetic information. In other words, they're doing their best to try to make things fair so that everybody fits in. But they're failing miserably, and I'll tell you why. The reason these policies have to keep changing and adjusting, and there's lawsuits everywhere, and there's all kinds of harassment, and there's different litigation that's taking place, and it's never going to stop. You know why? Because God didn't design any other institution to do what the church can do. The church is the only institution, the only organism where everybody and anybody can feel safe and belong and find their place. Everybody. I'm going to tell you something that I saw in the last few months. We were going to a restaurant somewhere in the Bay Area, and as we're pulling into the parking lot, I saw a young man with Down syndrome. Visibly, he had Down syndrome. And he was helping park the cars. He was helping check people in. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? They're giving this young man a chance, and his disability isn't getting in the way. I thought that was beautiful. I went to Sprouts the other day, that new store that opened up here in Merced, and I asked a gentleman if he could tell me where a certain drink was, and then I realized he was deaf or hard of hearing, and all he could do was sign language. So he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Follow me." He pointed this way. He took me down an aisle. He helped me perfectly. And you should have seen the confidence in this man. I could tell that was a place that welcomed him. It was a place that made accommodations for him. It was a place that made him feel at home. It was beautiful to see. Guy over here with Down syndrome. This man over here who was deaf or hard of hearing. Then I went to another place, a grocery store. And the man, he has a condition. I don't know exactly what the condition is. But he shakes a lot and he can't hold on to things with his hands. And his neck jerks quite a bit. And when I saw him trembling, literally a trembling, and some may call it a trembling disorder, but he was welcoming everybody and saying, "Good morning, how you doing, can I help you?" And he was pulling shopping carts as he was trembling, and he didn't care. He was confident, and I can tell. He was working in a place where people made him feel like he was a somebody, like he could do something with his life regardless of a so-called disability. Beautiful to see. And we need to see more of that in the church with regards to everything I'm talking about. But let me tell you something that these places cannot do, as much as they try to make accommodations for anybody and everybody. There's always going to be a hang up. There's always going to be, "Well, we can help you with this, except do you have a criminal record? Sorry." The church is one of the few institutions that'll say, "You come as you are, we're gonna help you. You got a track record, you've been to prison, you've been to jail, we're gonna help you." I'll tell you what, you fill out an application and you tell them, "Well, I do have a disability." Come one, come all. You tell them you got a certain kind of criminal record, that's gonna keep you from walking through that door. You tell them, and if you're honest with that boss or that person interviewing you, and you tell them, "I'd like to work here, but I have a disability." Come one, come all. Except, "I have an addiction. Sorry, we can't help you." The church is the only place that'll take you even with an addiction. We will not discriminate against you. You know why? Because we're a spiritual hospital designed by God to help everybody at any time, everywhere. Yes, even if you have a physical disability or a spiritual one. The world is not prepared to deal with spiritual disabilities, spiritual illnesses, spiritual sickness, spiritual disorders. They can't help you. They won't help you. You know why? Because God didn't design the systems of the world to help you on the inside. They can just help you with some behavioral modifications. They can help you make some changes, some adjustments, some accommodations. But the church is the only organism, only institution on the face of the planet that can help everybody, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of disability, regardless of spiritual terminal sickness. Nobody else can do this. Nobody else will do this. The church is where it's at. So I'm going to challenge you again. Give the church a real chance. The church should be a place where we're accepting and accommodating for anybody just the way you walk through that door. But I got to tell you the second part. The church should be a place that allows anybody to walk through that door the way you are. But we need more than just accommodations in a church. We need to be a place of transformation. We don't just provide accommodations. We're not a social institution. We're not the health department. We're not an educational facility. We are a hospital on wheels. We're here. We are designed by God to help you with spiritual transformation. So as you walk through those doors the way you are, and we make the accommodations that we can, at the same time, God is interested in transforming you, transforming me, transforming us by the renewing of our mind, transforming us by allowing us to be a part of the church, by being immersed in the church, by being open to anything and everything that God wants to give you through the church. The only place that will help you like this, you can go to any other place and I guarantee you, you will not find what God has really designed for your transformation. You can only find that in the church. 100 of us or so just went through harassment awareness training and mandated reporter training. About 100 of us leaders in the church between Spanish and English. And that's good. You should be glad that you have at least 100 people that are more aware. We're living in some horrible times. We're living in some dangerous times. You're a part of a church that, yeah, about 100 of us. Got our certificates and everything. It's on record. We're all mandated reporters, and we're all been through harassment awareness training, and probably going to have to do that every year. This is the times that we're living in. But let me tell you something about training. It's good on paper. And we should follow and obey the laws of the land that are in the, that there's something in the best interest for the church. But let me tell you what training cannot do. Training can never change the condition of your heart. You can keep someone from harassing someone else because there's a law. You can't keep them from harassing you in their heart. You can't keep a person from harassing you in their mind, in their heart. You can't keep someone from hating you. You can't go to work and somebody fire you because you got hatred in your heart. Imagine that. You get fired. Oh, I found out that you got a little bitterness in your heart. Today's your last day. They'd get sued. They can't deal with that. Today's your last day because we found out that you got unforgiveness. And there's our policy here at this place that if you've got unforgiveness, you can no longer be an employee. You get a lawsuit. Think about the standard that God is wanting to raise us up to. Think about where God wants to take us. Think about how deep the transformation that God wants to do in your life. Imagine going to any place of business, any place of employment, and somebody saying, hey, we found out that you got a little jealousy going on. You're not showing it. It's just we found out. It's in your journal. Somebody told us. A little rumor's going around that you're a jealous person. Guess what? You're fired. You won't find that anywhere. They'll fire you for sexual harassment. They'll fire you if you're harassing other people. They'll fire you if you're missing a lot of days and you're not fulfilling your end of the bargain with regards to your duties as assigned, or maybe your outside behavior is such that it warrants for you to be fired. But the systems of the world are not designed to investigate, to know the condition of your heart. You know whose business that is? God's. And you know where that transformation happens? In the church. You know where it happens? Among the church. The world is not designed to transform you. That's not their job. It's not their business. It's not what they're trained in. It's not. There's no anointing for it in the world. That belongs to the church. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. I'm going to ask y'all to stand for a moment. And I'm going to save the last two the last 2 points for another day. Praise team, you can start to make your way up. I want to challenge somebody today. Maybe consider this for a minute. You know who some of the hardest people to reach sometimes are? It's not the guest, it's not the visitor, it's the church. Sometimes the hardest people to reach is the church. You know why? Because you've been there. You know that. You've read the scripture. You've been around. You can say, I've been through my own rodeos. I know how this works. And some of the most dangerous thinking comes from a church person that says, I've been there. I know about that. I can take care of this. What you may not know is that maybe you're a part of the fold, but maybe it's just two pieces now. You used to be a part of the whole thing, but now it's just two. And maybe one is easily broken, and two is a little harder, and three is even harder, but don't assume that you're safe, because we're not that strong just because we've been in church for a long time. We don't got it all together just because I've read the scriptures through and through. I'm not safe just because I know how to pray and I speak in tongues. I'm not out of the woods just because I know how to come to an altar. This takes humility, a tremendous, tremendous amount of humility to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm learning that as I go. I'm learning that as I go. To be a follower of Jesus Christ takes a tremendous amount of humility, constant humility, recognizing that no matter how deep I'm into this, no matter how long I've been about this, no matter how much I know, I am still fragile. All by myself, I'm fragile. When I'm just trying to fly solo, I'm fragile. When I'm trying to be a Lone Ranger, I'm fragile. I'm fragile. I'm fragile. And so are you. And so are you. I want to challenge the church as well as our guests. I know I challenged our guests and I said, please let us pray for you. But I'm challenging the church. Can we pray for each other? Can we pray for each other? Can you pray for me and I pray for you? Because I'm telling you, you might say, I just need God. You do need God. But do you know how God decided to administer his help? Through the church. Don't ever say, I just need God. It's just me and God. Well, God has a package for you. It's called the church. And he's the head of it. He's the head of the church. We are the body of the head. And so we're a part of the package. Don't ever say, I just need God and I'll be okay. No, you need the church. You need the body of Jesus Christ. It comes as a package deal. You can't ride this alone. It's not going to work. Somebody lied to you or you lied to yourself. You can't go at this alone. I'll tell you what. People like Pastor Doyal, who I showed you earlier. Man, there's times where he's in congregations with three people. And he wishes that the church would just blow up, that it would just grow, that it would just flourish in the hundreds or thousands. But it's a slow process where he's at. Because he's fighting some deep-rooted strongholds. And he cherishes those moments where he has two or three people. Think about the last time you cherished, you truly cherished, and you were admiring the opportunity that God gives you to be the church. The church. I don't know what God spoke to you. I don't know what he's speaking to you now, but I can tell you this. That if you have made any kind of excuse, if you've given yourself any reason for not being the church or part of the church, that didn't come from God. That didn't come from God. It came from somewhere else. It came from a theory, a thought, an idea, a friend. It came from culture. It came from experience somewhere else. But that didn't come from God. God designed for you to be the church, to be a part of the church, to receive from the church, to give and contribute to the church. But my challenge to you again is give the church a chance. Give the church a chance. praise team, you can sing. Would you come up and help us pray together? I want to pray with you. I'm not just going to pray for you. I'm praying with you, and you pray for me. Would you bring somebody up here with you and just allow the Holy Spirit to help you see more than what you've seen? Maybe give the church more credit than what you've given it. Give the church a chance. Somebody's going to encourage you. You watch. Somebody's going to give you a word that you needed. Just watch. Somebody's going to pray for you. Just the right prayer. You watch and see. To every young person, you need the church too. The church is not irrelevant. The church is not some old wives' tale. The church is relevant for the 13-year-old, the 15-year-old, the 17-year-old, the 19-year-old. The you need the church too.
Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
I'm telling you, when the church
was
is running right, anointing of God, you watch and see what happens.
Jesus,
somebody's going to pray the exact prayer that you needed today. Somebody's going to give you a word that you needed to hear today. Somebody's going to speak into your life, and it's going to wake you up. Your spirit is going to come alive, and you're going to say, maybe there's something more about the church.
Come today, there's no reason.
Would you come up and just lift up your hands and give? Give the church a chance. Give God another chance.
Bring your sorrow and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
Don't be in a hurry. Allow God to minister to you right now.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Come on, invite somebody to come up. If you're feeling led of God, invite someone. Maybe there's a friend, a neighbor, a spouse, a husband, and you feel of God to invite them. Why don't you do that right now?
Was born with the
maybe somebody's son, somebody's daughter needs an invitation.